when there is no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth. Dawn of the Dead.
It seems that the silver screen looks a little darker to me. They've dashed all of my dreams. Have you seen Transformers 3? So we're here to talk about what shitty movies have come out. So your eyes don't have to bleed and your testicles don't recede. You've had a good day, good time, good life, good home, good job, good wife. You're right on time for a bad movie night. You've had a shitty day, shitty job. No.
It's time for another edition of the Bad Movie Night Podcast.
What do we win?
I don't know.
An hour with us.
You get nothing in like
an hour of bliss talking about horrible movies. Welcome, everyone, to the Bad Movie Night Podcast. I am Aaron Vaccaro, and with me, as always,
Jeff Tafaro.
I didn't think you were going to go. This is Nosley, being caught off guard yet again.
What else is new? We have quite a show for you on this edition of the podcast. We're doing our Zomtravaganza? I just want to call everything a travaganza now that we did.
I prefer Zombonanza, but that's just me.
This is why I keep you guys around. I come up with the funny names of all the...
She had Nick Stravaganza.
Nick Stravaganza. I'm not bringing much to the table.
Zombonanza?
Zombonanza. I mean, yeah. It just goes with the B. The B's there.
Yeah, that's true.
It's our Zombonanza. It is kind of funny sounding. It's
Zombonanza.
Yeah, Zombonanza.
You kind of want to eat it, too.
Yeah, I do.
I know, because it kind of sounds like banana.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't.
Oh. How dare you.
That's not what I was going for.
We will be covering the evolution of the zombie film, both good and bad, throughout the last 50 or so years that zombie films have been in existence. And we will be also concluding the podcast with our review from our selection from the Wheel of Misfortune last time, which was Oh Zombie, which, for those who haven't done their homework, is the Osama bin Laden zombie movie. And it's,
or as you coined it, the Zero Dark Thirty of zombie movies.
Yeah, which it is.
Right? It really is.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean,
so bad.
I gotta tell
it's
you.
It's also, actually, it's Zero Dark Thirty plus Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, it's right.
That's true. Wow. You know what?
Sorry, Spielberg and what's her face?
What's her face?
Doesn't matter. Catherine Bigelow. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, she does. She doesn't really
women
amount
directors
to
that. Don't matter.
I have to say,
I
enjoyed
Ozombie. I enjoyed it too.
More than Zero Dark Thirty.
Ooh.
I didn't see Zero Dark Thirty yet.
My brother hated Zero Dark Thirty.
I hated Zero Dark Thirty too. Yeah. It's not a movie. It's a docudrama, and there's no characters you care about at all in the movie, and it's a mess. But
we're not here to talk about that today.
Yeah, we have more important, more better caliber films to talk about.
More better.
More good, better things.
My wife is an English teacher, and she's not really going to appreciate the fact that I just said more better. But first off, if you'd like to contact us, you can email us at podcast@badmovienight.com. That's NITE.com. You can follow us on Twitter at badmovienight.com, or you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/badmovienight.com. All right. So, well, first things first. Has anyone seen any, you know, bad good movies recently that, you know, they want to? Doesn't have to be zombie related. This can be our palate cleanser before we start delving in and eating brains wholeheartedly for the rest of this hour. Brains. Send more brains.
We've actually discussed this movie before because you, Jeff, had seen it, but I just recently saw Magic Mike because it was playing on HBO. And aside
just
from
just recently saw it for
I
the
know,
first time.
I swear to goodness. And by goodness,
that's
I mean...
Swear to goodness.
I didn't want to offend anyone by saying swear to God.
You sound like such a good, like, Southern Christian woman.
As
I
like
swear
to
goodness.
Getting all hot and bothered. That's actually what I was doing. I was fanning myself the entire movie.
So what did you think of Magic
Mike?
Drinking
sweet tea.
It was terrible.
Wasn't it what I... But
I thought...
But do you see there's a good film somewhere in there? And then
no.
What you... Wow. Damn.
Actually, no, I take that back.
There's something there. It's just...
I guess it could have been if... The, like you said, the brother and sister combo was horrible. Both of them were terrible.
Terrible.
They were such bad actors. the script itself just felt like it didn't exist. Like, it, the way people were doing their dialogue sounded as if they were just making it up on the fly, but, like, not good improvisation. Just, like, repeating the same words over and over, like, yeah. stuttering. It just felt god-awful. But it is a man-fest. And I'll leave it at that.
Well, but you say that in a negative way. I mean, that's...
No, I say it in a great way.
Oh, okay.
Like an emphatic.
Joe
like,
Manganiello, or whatever his name is, Manflesh as I like to call him, he's crazy fine. And Channing Tatum can move.
Yes, he can.
And how.
And how. I actually saw, it's on streaming Netflix, and I'd never seen this movie. And I had worked at Blockbuster for many years when I was younger, and I'd always seen The Box, and I'd never seen this movie. And it's really good, and it's a Christian Bale movie, and I should have seen it. Was Equilibrium? And it's
oh yeah,
really
very,
good,
very underrated.
And it still holds up. Like and for many reasons, I think it's obviously because people compare it to the original Matrix, and with rightfully so.
When did it come out?
It's like
so after late 90s, the
Matrix, like 99 maybe 2000.
Yeah, let's see what it says here.
And I remember I saw it in college.
Who else is in it?
2002.
Oh, okay. 2002.
So, but what you get and what it has that the Matrix has is what the other Matrix suffered from was not using enough practical, whereas this and original Matrix use a lot of practical in their combat. Like, you know, there was a lot of like, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this, more than Matrix, is just straight up great camera work and great like
editing.
Choreography, like with the fight scenes. So I don't think there's any real wire work. I mean, it's pretty straightforward, but... It's super cool. Like, there's only like I don't know how many combat scenes, but like they're few and far between. But basically, if you haven't seen it, you've seen it?
I have seen it. Yeah.
Have
yeah.
you seen it?
I've never even heard of it until now.
Just a quick synopsis. It's like this dystopian future. If I'm using that correctly.
Yes.
Okay. It's just like
finally that someone's using their words correctly, okay. Aaron.
I know, he looks at me like, am I using that correctly? I'm the guy who just said more better.
As you're drooling.
You're like, yeah. That sounds like a delicious yeah. drink.
Yum.
So anyway, it takes place in this future where you can't show any emotion. And so if you have to take this drug that inhibits your emotions.
That's every day of Nasli's life,
yeah,
so she can relate to that.
Basically they take this drug that inhibits emotion, and even if somebody in your family begins showing emotion, you're supposed to turn them in.
Oh, wow, crazy.
So Christian Bale starts going off his meds, and then he starts feeling, and then he starts like unraveling this mystery of their whole society. It's really good. It's definitely worth it. It's definitely worth a watch. And Christian Bale's pretty rad. Omar Epps is pretty damn good in it, and it has a Sean Bean in it. And
Sean Bean?
Yeah.
I love Sean Bean.
He's in it. And the guy from...
Why Sean Bean?
What's his name?
Because it's spelled like Sean, S-E-A-N-B-E-A-N.
And is it...
So it's like
yeah.
Sean Bean.
Oh, Angus gotcha. McFadden, he's from Braveheart. That's the guy, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, he's in it as well. So it's a good flick.
Yeah, it was solid. Definitely capitalizing on the popularity of Matrix.
But it was before Matrix, if I remember correctly, right?
No,
no,
Matrix
was after?
Was 99. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so this was after.
That came out in high school.
But no, but like, very, very underrated solid.
But I watched it, and nowhere at any point was like, oh, this rips off the Matrix. I mean,
No. It's just kind of the look, you know,
the
kind of
dark
they're
wearing cloaks,
and,
but like,
yeah.
It's not like the Matrix where there's no reason why they wear the cloaks.
Right.
Here there's a reason why
right,
they wear
right.
like,
well, do you remember the movie Dark World?
Yeah.
I always thought that movie was
creepy as shit.
Like, if that movie hadn't existed, I don't think like the Matrix would have existed.
I mean, who directed it?
Oh, Dark World? Or no, not Dark World.
Dark City.
Dark
yeah.
City. Yeah, it was funny.
Which didn't
we
just get
all
some...
were on the same page? Even
That's
though you
crazy.
Said Dark World, I totally knew you meant Dark
yeah,
City.
Yeah, that movie is fantastic.
Because I remember this movie just got like some kind of director's, some new release just happened, or like a
Alex Proyas was the director.
98.
Of
yeah,
Dark City.
I saw a movie in a theater.
And he did iRobot.
Oh.
Oh, he did The Crow.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
How did I not
but
know
some,
that?
But something recently was released with this. I forget what it was. It must have been – must be what I'm seeing is the director's cut. They just released something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they did. They had a new DVD Blu-ray version that was the director's cut.
Did you hear they might be remaking The Crow?
They are remaking The Crow.
They are?
Yeah.
It makes me so sad.
Who are they going to get
for The Crow? Is Alexander Skarsgård going to be The Crow?
No.
Okay, then I'm not interested.
Huh? What?
I'd seen like some article online about how Alexander Skarsgård, the guy Eric Northman from True Blood, and I think he was in like Battleship.
Uh huh.
But anyway, he's a tall drink of water. But that's what caught my eye, and then I was like, wait, they're gonna make The Crow again, which made me really sad because that's one of my favorite movies of all time, and the sequels were bad enough as it is. So I don't know.
Well, there's nothing in it yet about IMDb. Oh wait, maybe there is here. IMDb.
Yeah, I know they have a director, this guy Javier Gutierrez. But I know they wanted Luke Evans.
Who's that?
He is in. He's in that. Luke
Evans. Is he related to Chris Evans?
He's that. He's one of those guys you've seen a million times before in like little bit parts, but.
Oh well.
I can't think off the top of my head what else he's been in, but.
It
is for sure happening.
Dang.
I mean, unless something. He's from the Immortals, Luke Evans. That was kind of.
He was in Three Musketeers. I actually watched this version that came out. And
the newest Three Musketeers?
It was not very good.
No.
Why don't they just stop trying to adapt the Three Musketeers?
Honestly, they should have stopped with the Kiefer Sutherland.
The Disney
Charlie
version
Sheen,
is so much fun.
Oliver Platt one.
I'm okay
that was
with
my
it.
Favorite. I love that movie. And
it's
Tim
pretty
Curry.
Awesome. It's
did
so
you guys
really
hear
good.
About Tim Curry?
No.
Like a stroke.
Oh, yeah, I did
what?
Hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't read the article. I don't read a lot of articles online.
No.
I just read headlines. But yeah,
you're what's
so
wrong
sad.
With this world.
No,
well, really? I just don't read regular news. I just read headlines of entertainment news.
Oh, that's terrible.
So.
No, that is really sad. And our thoughts and prayers go
they
out
do.
To Tim
he's,
Curry.
He's a hero to us all.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. He's been in so many iconic movies that
totally.
We cherish. So, but let's not talk about him like
yeah.
he's dead because he's gonna be fine.
No, he's gonna be fine.
It's
gonna be fine. Segwaying into zombies.
Let's talk about some people who are dead, huh?
And who actually have trouble speaking and stuff like that.
That's so. Right. That's right.
Oh my god.
Well, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
Too soon.
So yeah, we are going to be talking about a zombie in a little bit, but since we're talking about a zombie movie, and it's obvious to everyone that zombie movies have become like a dime a dozen these days, right?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
You can't everywhere. you can't take a shit without seeing another zombie movie playing somewhere.
Especially
coming
if you have
out
an LCD screen TV in your bathroom.
Yes, well, of course. Who do you guys not have LCD screens in your bathroom?
I'm getting it set up right now.
Oh, good.
Yet.
It's
being installed.
Amazing. You will never want to leave the bathroom ever again.
Do you watch like scary movies just to be able to shit? Like if you're having trouble with like your bowel movement,
scare the shit out of me.
Yeah,
totally.
You just sit there and you're like, up. Yep. Cross
I'm
that off the list.
Constipated. Yeah, I'll just put on like the Exorcist while I'm constipated. Like, okay, good. Wow, we should invent that.
That's
we should
a
go to
great idea.
We should
don't
go to Shark Tank.
Eight listeners. A Shark Tank?
You never seen
oh,
Shark
the
Tank?
Show. I thought you said we should build a Shark Tank. To scare you.
We should build a Shark Tank.
Brilliant.
All right, so let's talk about zombie movies.
Yes.
Let's
okay.
I mean, I have been.
You're a huge zombie.
You're a zombie filmmaker.
I am a zombie filmmaker. That is correct. I made a short zombie film in college called Necrosis.
Wasn't it award winning or
it was.
Award nominated?
No, it was an award nominated. It got accepted into the Real Loud Film Festival at UC Santa Barbara. Hello, Joe Palladino, if you're listening.
Hey.
Yeah, and I made it was like a 6 minute long silent. Zombie film.
You shot it on 35?
16 millimeter. And a very low budget. I made the whole thing for $500 because I was a poor college student.
That's a lot
money.
Of money, even
that is for, yeah,
right now.
For,
yeah. I mean, most of the money went to the 16 millimeter film stock, was pretty much, and developing it and doing all that. But I've been a ridiculous zombie film nerd since forever. And I know Nosley, you have as well.
We
go way back in our Dawn of the Dead. Viewing parties at my house growing up.
True.
Jeff, you are a casual.
I'm casual. You know the movies that the zombie movies I like, but I don't delve too deep. But I've seen like you know Day of the Dead,
the staples.
Dawn of the Dead.
The
yeah, I've seen the staples.
So we kind of wanted to just kind of see where the genre started, where it's been, and where it's going, and where it's tracking from the beginnings with Night of the Living Dead in 1968 and kind of coming full circle to World War Z, which is about to hit theaters or maybe hitting theaters by the time whenever this podcast premieres.
Who knows when it's going to be.
But let's talk about Mr. George Romero, the father of the zombie film. And one of my personal heroes I actually got to meet in person and take a picture with and totally geek out. And I got
nice.
Him to sign my Dawn of the Dead poster in our office here, and he basically created a genre. Sure, there were a couple of movies beforehand. There was you know White Zombie, There was,
yeah, I didn't even know those movies. Like, I feel really bad. Like, I didn't even know they had those kind of movies, like, in the 40s.
Yeah.
I thought it was all, well, like,
it's
Frankenstein.
Different.
It was more Frankenstein.
It was more Frankenstein. Yeah, it was more kind of, like, controlling a person. It was more mind control and, you know, putting some sort of voodoo trickery spell on people. And it wasn't the dead coming back to life and eating people, which is... That's the zombie film that George Romero created starting in 1968.
Some chemical imbalance. Or no, actually, Night of the Living Dead was just, there was no explanation.
And I think all of George Romero, if I remember correctly, there's never really an explanation.
I don't think so.
They kind of reference in kind of more esoterically in Dawn of the Dead that, you know, the slogan of the movie is, when there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth. So, I mean, that's kind of more of a metaphor, I think, than a literal explanation of where the zombies are coming from. But yeah, they never really
kind of... Day of the Dead kind of explain it, though?
Of the Dead is just a continuation.
What's the one where they burn the body in the furnace, and then it goes up, like, the stat... And, like,
that's Return of the Living Dead.
It's Return. Yeah. But that's,
oh, okay.
I mean, that's a...
That's the one that has the chemical spill.
That's the
one where the military has the canisters of the preserving the bodies
in. And the old yokel dude's, like, freaking out, like... The gas breaks out of the cabin or whatever.
So I guess
Return of the Living Dead's one of my favorites, though, because that's when the zombie film went full campiness. That had and that has some good stuff in it. But so Night of the Living Dead, a pinnacle, a staple of not only horror film but of film in general. It was, you know, made on a shoestring budget. It was groundbreaking in that it cast an African-American actor in the lead as the hero in 1968 when, you know, sure, Brown versus Board of Education and the Civil Rights Movement had kind of taken place, but it still was not okay. I mean,
wasn't that the year Martin Luther King was assassinated?
It very well might have been.
Despite the fact that
the country was trying to progress in the right direction, there was still a lot of bigotry out there, and there were a lot of people that I'm sure were not happy with Mr. Romero for casting a black man in the lead of his horror movie. And, you know, the movie touches a lot on racial themes, and, you know, it's...
With zombies.
So,
it's Malcolm X with zombies.
Night of the Living Dead kind of obviously created a lot of imitators. You know, not very unsuccessfully in that kind of next decade until Romero came out with Dawn of the Dead in 1978, 10 years later, which to this day is still probably my favorite zombie film of all time. But it's, for those who haven't seen Dawn of the Dead, it's the sequel to Night of the Living Dead, mm-hmm. but it's, instead of tackling race relations, the thematic epicenter for Dawn of the Dead is consumerism and how, you know, these people hide out in a shopping mall. And the fact that all these kind of zombies start gravitating towards a zombie mall.
I think I just said a zombie mall.
That's me talking too much in my brain going, no, they gravitate towards the shopping mall because it's a place that gave them comfort.
It was familiar.
And it
has the amazing line, keys to the kingdom, when they realize they have a department store all to themselves.
It has quite a few awesome one-liners in that movie, and possibly my favorite scene in all of cinema, maybe the helicopter zombie.
Yes.
When our heroes are gassing up their helicopter at an abandoned gas station, and this zombie with a very large forehead.
Why does he have such a large forehead, you ask?
Wanders over towards the helicopter whose propeller is still rotating while they're filling up with gas because they don't want to take the chance that they're not going to be able to start it again for some reason. And the zombie proceeds to stand up on a crate and get the top of his head completely sliced off.
Right.
And it's
movie magic.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
No
CGI
there. I
think it changed our lives.
It did. It's one of the most memorable moments in all of my movie watching experience, hands down, for sure. So there was Zombie, which was called Zombie 2 in Europe for some reason. I'm not exactly sure why, but that was Lucio Fulci's, that was the thing. In the late 70s, early 80s, it became more of a European genre. Like, I think a lot of the Dario Argento, Lucio Fulci, Mario Bava, they kind of picked up where Romero left off and continued making zombie movies. And Zombie was one of the ones that really managed to kind of bridge the gap and come over to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's very cheeseball. It's all dubbed and whatnot.
I feel like did Romero just like take a break for a little bit, like, because I'm sure he did films between. I mean,
he did. I think he wanted to, you know, explore some other stuff while he was because he did make some other movies.
Because he did Land of the Dead's him though, right?
Yeah, Land of the Dead. That was from like not too long ago.
And I think for him, because he wasn't just making just blatant zombie, like, you know, let's put a new group of people in this.
Yeah, he didn't just force it down your throat.
He wanted to wait till society had changed a little bit, you know, where there was new issues to tackle in society. So I can't remember specifically what the issue was in Day of the Dead, but I think it was more.
Isn't that?
It had something to do with like military.
It's military,
stuff.
Yeah.
And then Land of the Dead was the class discrepancy.
Right,
so
it was
rich
like the
99%ers. Right.
Even before
that
stuff was even coined, yeah.
Yeah, that's how much of a trendsetter Romero was.
I guess Day of the Dead is important because that's obviously Bub, like, you know, we see here, where the introduction of the smart zombie. I don't know if he wasn't fast-moving, though, but I guess he still was a smart zombie, or at least an intelligent.
He, like, retained stuff from, like, when he was a human, or he, like, picked up stuff.
He learned.
It was showing that you can actually teach these zombies, that they basically regress to the brain of a child, essentially.
Which, essentially, I would say Shaun of the Dead used.
Yeah. Oh, well, Shaun of the Dead has lots of homages to Romero and everything. And brilliantly so. I mean, there's...
Oh, that's one of the
best movies
ever. Yeah, I was going to say, not even just a zombie movie. Like, it's just one of the best movies ever.
Yeah, no, totally. And so, yeah, I mean, there was definitely a period of time during the 80s and 90s where the zombie movie kind of, they didn't stop making them, the quality of them started to take a hit. That it was really, you know, you had the Evil Deads and the Evil Dead 2, and you had Day of the Dead, but then for, you know, every one of those you had...
It was probably just saturated at that point.
Yeah, that's the thing, is the market just started getting too saturated.
I don't even remember what the go-to, like, scary monsters of the 90s were. I think it was like a hodgepodge.
Scary monsters of the 90s. Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of...
I remember, like, vampires, but not
a lot. I mean, there was, like...
Not as much as now. Like,
no. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of real scary...
Candyman's, you know.
Yeah, Candyman.
There could be thrillers. Like, yeah, there's a lot of thrillers.
Yeah. Oh, and, like, all, like, the slasher stuff.
Dr. Giggles. No, not
Dr.
scary.
Dr. Giggles.
Not scary.
Candyman. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tommy Wingle.
The 90s had a few good ones. Brain Dead, which was called Dead Alive here, which is one of Peter Jackson's early movies, which is a very very much in the same campy style as Return of the Living Dead, which also came out. Well, no, Return of the Living Dead came out in the mid 80s. But yeah, the market started getting really saturated, and then it progressively got more saturated after 28 Days Later created
the fast moving
zombie.
Which technically they're not zombies, but
that is very true.
I still have so many issues with that movie.
Really?
Just personal, like, choices of character choices and when the guy wakes up and the things he decides to do, and I don't know. None of it made sense to me. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's I mean, like, I really like the movie. It's very moody, and I mean, it's, you know, as much Danny Boyle's movies are all very, you know, the music plays a big part in the cinematography and everything. And so it's very kind of artsy in the way it's done. But it also is really terrifying at moments, too.
It just bugs me because it's the thing is, like, watching it when it came out. I mean, it takes place. It's in England, right?
Right.
So obviously my issue when it came out was essentially, why are there no weapons? And it's like, well, yes, in England, getting weapons is very difficult because of the gun control laws and everything. But it's like, this outbreak happened, and it's like, you don't think people are going to find a way to get weapons? Or when you come out, like, you want to find a way. Like, if I was, like, dropped in that situation, the first thing I'd worry about is food and a way to defend myself.
Right.
And the guy's just kind of like, shmeh, what to do?
You're talking about Killian Murphy's character?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
But he didn't know at that point.
Yeah,
that
he was kind of... He's kind of, like, thrust into it because he's... So he's kind of shell-shocked from having... You know, everyone else was able to absorb... gradually everything that was happening.
I think at the point where he should have probably looked for a weapon was when he saw, like, when he walked into the church and, like, that one scary, like, zombie, like, pops, or not zombie, but one of the infected, like, pops up, and then the priest, the infected priest, like, attacks him.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if right after that is when he was chased by the other zombies, and then, like, the black chick, the other dude, saved him, or if he was just, like, walked away from that, was like, holy shit, what was that? And then, like, walks around.
Well, doesn't he? He throws away the gun, I remember, at one point when he, like, starts going, like, animalistic in his own
life. Oh,
yeah, starts,
that
like, prayer
was
himself.
A little weird.
I was like, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what it reminded me of? Have you guys seen The Beach?
Yeah.
It's basically like
the romping in the
It's funny because that's also a Danny Boyle movie.
Right.
And it's that same type of deal where
that scene is so ridiculous.
Yeah. And it's like they both movies, you know, like at the end of act two of the movies, they have this moment where their protagonist just becomes like primal and crazy. And it's so weird that that's like his thing in those two movies. But
I do like The Beach, though.
I love The Beach up until, you know, it gets a little hinky in the last 20 minutes or so. But unbelievable film. But that's not a zombie film, so let's not talk about that anymore.
Boo.
So, yeah, 28 Days Later. The early 2000s had an upswing in good zombie films. That's when we saw the Dawn of the Dead remake in 2004.
Which was awesome.
Land of the Dead in 2005. Shaun of the Dead was also in 2004. 28 Days Later, which we were just talking about, came out in 2002. So, you know, there was a lot of movement. I think Walking Dead, the comic, came out around that same time, 2004, 2005.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So the zeitgeist for zombies was really huge at that point. And then that's when kind of the tipping point happened. And I think, you know, with the exception of Walking Dead, which is
Hugely successful.
And, you know, for the most part, very well done. And, you know, going from Robert Kirkman's source material. But there's so many awful, bad zombie movies that come out now that don't even try. They just know, like, it's like they're just saying that because zombie movies do well, that we can do whatever we want in them. And mm-hmm. that seems to be the market's just being flooded with them now, which is too bad. And as much as I love zombie movies, I'd rather boil it down to the real good shit, then just kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if World War Z is worth a damn.
So, yeah, let's talk about World War Z, because that is... So what were some of the most recent big studio zombie movies that have come out in the last few years? Because I know
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Zombieland wasn't Zombieland. That big of a budget, Zombieland. Or was it?
It was, you know, it was a studio movie.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It was pretty popular.
You know, there was 28 Weeks Later.
Oh, that movie was
there
awesome.
There was the Resident Evil movies.
Yeah, 28 Days Later. Yeah, 28 Weeks. The sequel was good, actually. I did enjoy it.
Yeah, I like 28 Weeks
28 later. Weeks Later, for me, actually,
some
was
people
more,
liked it more.
More scary, I think, than 28 Days Later. 28 Days Later was definitely more of like a character study
mm-hmm.
with the infected, but 28 Weeks Later is just freaking terrifying.
Yeah, no, it definitely is.
What was that one that just came out recently? Like it was like a love story zombie.
Warm Bodies.
Didn't you see it?
I did see it.
Okay.
Did you like it?
It had potential, and then it just falls flat.
See, at least that to me is like someone trying to do something different with the genre.
Yeah,
even if it's not.
Yeah.
A success. I appreciate the effort.
I did appreciate the effort, but there's a moment where it has this chance to be something. I mean, it's fine. It's a comedy. I get that, but a comedy can still hold weight and mean something.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of he just has this like moment, and there's a few moments that pop up where like it could go to greatness, and it just kind of goes shmer.
Mm.
So it just doesn't. But it's a good. I'd say it's a solid rental. And what's his name? The star in it from X-Men. And about a boy is great. The kid, what's his name?
Who cares?
I can't remember his name, but he's really good in it. So,
they had this on the list, but Dead Snow, that was a great movie.
Oh, yeah,
That's a low budget movie, but that movie was fantastic.
That's true. That very good, like, fun, campy, bad movie night type movie for
Zombie Nazis,
yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong with. Seeing Nazis die twice, right? I mean, that seems like a no-brainer. But yeah.
Brains.
Oh, wow.
So Resident Evil, I mean, those, like, I like the first Resident
they
Evil.
They started out as zombies, and now they went into something,
yeah,
and, who knows where they're...
They're kind of a good metaphor for what's happened to the zombie movie. It's just not a zombie movie anymore. And I think World War Z is a good example of that. And I love Max Brooks' book. I love Zombie Survival Guide. I loved World War Z.
But what's the point of even calling it that if, you know, the book is not that? It's like...
Yeah, the book is essentially a bunch of testimonials from fictitious people that were involved in the World War Z or the Zombie War and kind of talking about what happened and what their experience was. But there's no real coherent story to the book. And so, you know, Brad Pitt and his production company, Mark Forster, and those involved basically decided to take that book and turn it into a movie. And so far, it's proven to be quite a bit of a mess. So it started out with a $170 million budget, the film. But then the budget ballooned to be $400 million.
And then how many directors have they had?
Just one director.
Okay.
But they Mark Forster is the director, but supposedly him and Brad Pitt is the star of the film, they were butting heads repeatedly, and they there was a $200 million rewrite and reshoot of the final act that was done in the film, which ballooned the budget up to $400 million. So it's...
That better be one final act.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure. I mean, no matter how well it does... And
it's never going to make $400 million.
It's never going to make $400 million. There's just no way. And I think the people, the commentary from people who have seen the trailers and from people within the industry who have seen cuts of the film, obviously it can't be that good if they had to go back and do a whole extensive reshoot. And it just sounds like a mess, and I feel
shame.
I kind of feel like the studio is going to lose buco bucks on it. And
yeah, you set yourself up for failure. But I mean, I'll go back to it because I love it. John Carter had director issues and reshoot issues. That movie turned out, I think, pretty okay.
Right. Yeah. You know, what bugs me about World War Z is that it has that same type of computer graphics that, like, I Am Legend had.
Exactly. In any of the trailers, it's like they don't go close on the zombie.
Right.
All, like,
no,
one,
just
one
you never see
like
a zombie.
Mass of people.
And, that's what I think what they're banking on. They're banking on quantity over quality. They'd be like, well, if we just pour 18,000 people into a pyramid going over a wall, crawling over each other, you know, then people are going to go see it. And to me, it's like, no, that just looks like a bunch of video game characters climbing over one another. No.
I Am Legend, for me, could have been one of the best zombie
movies. If it was
all
practical.
That
was
the
biggest.
Totally.
The graphics were so fake-looking that it just took away any
and
scariness.
It was at that time. It was still kind of early on where it had just kind of some...
Yeah. Yeah,
issues with CGI, but I mean, Will Smith was great in it, and when that dog died, everybody cried.
Spoiler alert!
It's what, five,
it's
6 years
like
13 old now.
Years old.
I still can't even talk about that moment in the movie.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah, I think the statute of limitations is up. I think if you haven't seen I Am Legend by now, you can go fuck yourself. So we'll see. World War Z. You know,
I wish I could be more like optimistic about it.
The thing is,
not.
It's gonna be like a solid B minus C plus. Like, you just know it is. It's going to be like, well, that was all
right. Right.
We saw what we were trying to do. And I mean, you can just tell. But it's not, it's already, it has so much going against it. People are already going to walk in, you know, knowing.
With low expectations.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good thing.
As much as it pains me to say this, being a lifelong zombie movie fan, and when I say lifelong, I mean, you know, watching people get their brains eaten out of their skulls at far too young an age. It pains me to say, Hollywood, if you're listening, take a step back, let the zombie movie breathe, leave it alone for a few years,
because
you're killing it, and you're ruining it, and it kind of
I think having
breaks
my The
heart.
Walking Dead is enough for
That's
people
enough.
Right now.
That's
yeah.
enough, and I get Hollywood is all about imitating and capitalizing on what's popular, and you see how well The Walking Dead is the number one show on television, that you're like, well, we every studio is like, well, we got to have a huge zombie movie, and
no.
Just
people
just
like
let
the
it
modesty,
breathe.
I think, of zombie movies. Like,
it's
they
overkill.
Don't need,
it's overkill, and there's so many little production companies right now that are going to be putting out their shitty zombie films. Don't you know?
Just don't
chum up the water with more of them. Just leave it alone. And speaking of shitty zombie movies,
hey,
let's talk about O Zombie.
I almost forgot about it. I don't know how I could, though.
All right, so O-Zombie, made in 2012, is...
Relevant.
is basically about... It opens up with SEAL Team 6 taking down Osama bin Laden. Or so we think.
Dun, 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 dun.
It opens up with the exact same siege on the compound in Pakistan.
Abbottabad.
Oh, good. I'm so glad we have a Persian in studio with us to translate all the...
we just lost every one of our listeners for that one. Thanks, guys.
So, yeah, it basically opens up with a siege in Abbottabad. But there's a twist to that siege that we didn't see in – that we didn't hear about on the news, at least. I don't remember hearing about the fact that they had
– What are you not telling us, America?
I didn't know there was a storage facility underneath that compound.
A biohazard storage facility.
A biohazard storage facility filled with –
Al-Qaeda zombies.
With Al-Qaeda zombies.
That's the first thing I wrote is Al-Qaeda zombies triple exclamation point. Why didn't you think of that, Al-Qaeda?
It
looks like a storage rental facility. That's what I'm really thinking.
It certainly was. I mean, it could have looked more like a public storage in Van Nuys. For sure.
All they needed were the orange doors.
That's it.
Just painted
so you
those
see,
over.
Some
no
guy
one
like,
will
opened
know.
Up like, never mind.
Like,
I will not put my couch
shorts.
In there today.
So SEAL Team 6 sieges the compound. They run into a little trouble. With the Al-Qaeda zombies that are being held in the storage facility, the biohazard storage facility. And we see Osama bin Laden inject himself with some mysterious chemical, which we learn later is the chemical to reanimate him as a zombie. But the SEAL team manages to shoot him and take him down. Geronimo,
shoot him in the head, apparently. They shot every other freaking Al-Qaeda member in the head but Osama bin Laden.
Right. Well. And they tag him, they bag him, they get on the copter. But he comes alive on the helicopter, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then someone gets shot. One of the pilots gets shot? Is that what happened?
I had no idea how that happened.
That's when this whole movie lost me. From the minute one or minute three, I was like, I don't understand what is going on in this movie. They left the explanation of the entire zombie vacation of not zombie vacation, but zombification, if you will. They left it up to the dude with the Australian accent. Leave it up to the one guy with the most incoherent accent to explain the entire premise of this movie. I didn't. I had to repeat it three times. You're supposed to have my babies.
It's the best line ever.
I was supposed to have your babies.
I'm
going to go be angry sad with my katana sword.
Don't fuck with Tomboy.
Wait.
We'll get to that later.
Tomboy's coming.
Forget I said
I haven't seen a group this big since they opened a Walmart in my town. Alright. Listen up. We've got about 3 minutes to regroup before we're lunch. How are we doing on ammo?
Big Mama's just warming up.
Okay, here.
Good and plenty.
I love this.
I dropped my 45 in the clearing.
Yeah. I'll drop my rifle too. You guys cover me.
I'll get both.
That's suicide, Doc.
Already dead.
I'll get the guns.
Wait. That's for getting bit. I was supposed to have your babies.
You know he's infected, right?
Only by blood.
Better hope so.
So Osama bin Laden's reanimated corpse comes back to life.
Right.
And the helicopter crashes into the Arabian Sea.
Okay.
And
then there's two white people making out alone on the beach in the Arabian Peninsula.
It's the fucking French Riviera.
Exactly.
Everyone's just vacationing.
No one else in sight but these two whiter than white people making out on a beach in the Arabian Peninsula.
Yeah.
Very private.
Accurate.
Very private.
And lo and behold, out from
here
the
to
surf,
eternity, eat your heart out.
Yeah, from out of the surf emerges zombie Osama bin Laden.
Ready to
and
party.
He is apparently going somewhere.
Yeah.
We don't really know where he's going.
Not yet. He's going somewhere.
Who knew he was such an avid swimmer?
I think when you turn to a zombie, you're very buoyant.
That's true. And you can breathe underwater. Or you just don't breathe, so...
The more you know, everybody.
Yeah,
the
you guys. You know. Check it out.
So then we meet our group of ragtag, you know, Marines for the course of the film that we tag along with as they
I'll
are...
I'll be honest. I like the makeup of the team. I like it.
Yeah.
It's a good, array of people. Yeah, I do. The only person I had an issue with, because it's two on the nose, was just Joker. It was just like,
Joker.
How much did Joker remind you of Mark Millara? What's up, Mark Millara?
Totally.
He totally looked like him.
I don't know who
the
Mark
same
Millara
cheesy
is,
jokes.
But I bet he's really funny.
You know who Mark Millara
You've
is.
Met him.
Have I?
I mean, none of the rest of the audience
Mark,
knows
call
him.
In right now.
We're waiting your call.
Joker has...
Just don't call somebody Joker. It's just been done. You could have called him anything else, and he could have been like, just call him Brian, and Brian likes to tell jokes, and I'm fine with it.
Well, everyone had to have, like, the clever nickname. Like, DC was not
DC,
for Washington, DC.
Court.
It was for divorce
well,
court.
Well, that's how people in the military are, you know?
Tomboy
they have their,
was cool
because
cool she was a
nicknames
tomboy.
For one another.
Yeah.
She was a hot blonde with a ninja sword, and I was fine with all of that.
I wasn't.
So, there is a...
Okay, when we're introduced to the team...
They know about the zombies
at
this point.
Basically, we're dropped into them, like, defending themselves from these group of peoples, and they already start losing members. So they know instantly that the zombies are getting worse, and they're not kind of able to help their own, like, their own group. They're like, we gotta kind of, like, figure out a situation. They stumble upon Dusty, who was there in that area trying to find her brother, who she...
Oh, yeah. Who, some just random American chick has, like, an Arab guide or translator, and they're in the middle of the desert, and she's wearing fucking, like...
Leather boots.
Fashion boots in the middle of Afghanistan, or wherever they are, Pakistan, or somewhere in the Arabian
Maybe she got them in the market, and they're very comfortable.
Are they?
They're made from...
Everyone else
ostriches.
Is in, like, combat boots.
I don't know.
And ostriches? She's in fucking like.
Is that what you think are like peppering the landscape of Afghanistan?
I hope so. I want to ride one.
They have a plethora of ostriches roaming.
She's in like Chanel boots.
And so they kind of team up because she's like, I help me find my brother. Was there a reason? Obviously they don't want her getting killed, so they kind of bring her along.
They, you know, they have good consciences.
So they bring her along, and.
Just stop talking here.
Eventually, their paths cross where her brother, we find out he's alive, and he kind of joins them and saves all of their lives.
And is a complete tool.
Well, the brother
has
gone rogue.
He's
and
gone
decided...
rogue, but here's where what gets me is he's not a soldier.
Nope.
He has no reason for being there.
Other than
9-11. Other than he just feels compelled to – he doesn't believe that Osama bin Laden is dead, and he wants to finish the job. That is it. That's all you need.
He's a true blue patriot, Jeff.
Well, he's like a conspiracy theorist.
So he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Right.
Yes.
All right.
And, like, not only is he crazy, but he's, like, a simpleton, too.
Yeah,
he's a crazy simpleton. Like, he's just kind of like a...
He fucks shit up a little bit.
He does.
And was anyone else bothered, or is this just me, that, like, the brother and sister looked... nothing like they could be brother and sister.
Yeah. No,
it was like a dark-haired, dark-eyed girl and then like a ginger, blue-eyed dude. I was like, this doesn't make any sense.
There's one part, after they all get together, they're trying to find water and she's like, oh, it's 1 mile this way, blah, blah, blah. And they start walking. Cut to the scene of the two guys wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I'm like, well, that seems completely inappropriate.
No,
I mean,
weren't they going there to scout? Like, they were supposed to go and look out for, like, other stuff, and then they're shirtless and fighting.
Well,
what's going on here?
What's going on here, number one? I get if you want to drop some dudes wrestling. I get that for whatever reason.
You do?
But you just mentioned that, like, we don't have much water. Don't you want to conserve your energy and not need water? Nope, let's just wrestle. All right.
But they have their shirts off, so they're, like, staying cool.
You can slow. Getting a little soft. It's not what your mom said. My mom's dead, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. She lives in Toledo. Suck that.
They are hot.
But when in doubt, they needed to get that guy with his shirt off. Is he a tall drink of water?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of water.
Yeah, it was.
He's a poor man's Josh Duhamel, and Josh Duhamel is a poor man's. Who does Josh Duhamel look like? He's got to have somebody above him.
Yeah, no, he does.
Is he a poor man? Not a Brad Pitt. Who does he look like?
No,
no.
He Nobody. Needs. So whatever, this guy, that guy was Josh yeah. Duhamel's a poor Josh Duhamel.
Yeah,
it's not possible.
My biggest gripe with this movie is I can handle one or two bad one-liners.
There's everywhere.
Oh, so many.
This whole entire script.
I have so many audio clips.
Awful one-liners.
Haven't seen a group this big since the opening of Walmart in my town.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Said by the Mexican guy.
What? Oh, my gosh. And the Mexican dude?
Was racist on his own self,
no,
basically.
And he kept having to do the typical cliche, but, like, not done well at all, like, throwing in a Spanish word into every sentence. Uh-huh. Yeah. It drove me fucking crazy.
Estoy loco. You're crazy. Yeah. No shit, dude. We all know what that
yeah,
means.
Yeah. You don't need to translate fucking loco.
Yeah, there was, I mean...
And another thing that bothered me, Derek, the brother, decides to go rogue. He's done all this research on the Arab Peninsula or whatever. Doesn't speak a lick of Arabic.
Yeah, you should have thought that through.
Encounters that one little kid, who I thought was a zombie at first.
They set it up like he's... And then I thought his family
was... I was waiting for them to turn around and be like... Meh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no. Well, actually, what I was waiting for in this entire fucking movie was that it was going to be a zombie Osama bin Laden just on a rampage, which to me would have been amazing.
Here's the thing with doing that. You can't have a zombie movie that follows just one zombie for the whole movie, because they die. Like, zombies just, they don't have a long shelf life.
But I would have liked him to at least been part of it a bit more.
They could have had more clips of him, you know, kind of wreaking his havoc. Because, yeah, you see him at the
just
beginning of the movie.
Just being a zombie. I just want to see Osama bin Laden being a zombie.
You see him at the beginning of the movie, and then you see him, do you see him one other time before the end, or no?
Maybe twice.
Not any other time. The camera stuff, and then it pans over, and he's there, and then they get in the room.
That's the end sequence.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get you couldn't have... Our ragtag group of Marines cross paths with Osama because it would have been like over immediately. But yeah, you could have seen him, you know, eating some,
doing more zombie
just
stuff,
hanging out,
yeah, being more
just
zombie,
just hanging out.
So we should do. Do you guys have one-liners written down? Because I think I should. I want to rattle these off.
Oh, dude, because yeah. I didn't write any.
Chime in if you don't have these. I was supposed to have your babies, of course.
Yeah.
Where's all the zombie crap? That entire, like, dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
This is great. What makes you think bin Laden is in there? What makes you think he isn't? They, like, exchanged that, like, three times in the course of that conversation.
Yeah.
Three times, they couldn't get anything better than that. Thank you, Call of Duty, which I thought was absolutely ridiculous.
God, and that was bad.
And then my last is my favorite. I'm gonna miss you. I'm gonna miss me, too.
That's Joker.
I was like, that's clever as shit.
Did you ever think that dead people were the worst kind of enemy?
Dead enemies were always the best kind of enemies.
So where's all the zombie crap?
What?
The zombies obviously extract some kind of nutrients from eating, so where's all the poop?
Are you serious right now?
Unless there's zombies that I haven't seen keeling over from exploded bowels, they're evacuated somewhere.
I'll tell you what. Next time we see one, we'll flag him down and check and see if he's wearing a diaper.
It's great, guys.
Maybe they're bulimic. After a delightful meal, it daintily excuses itself, only to return happily for more brains.
I'd rather be bulimic than poop my pants.
I had, one of my face was, hey, butt face. Oh, you mean no face? And I was like, oh, good one!
Brilliant. Okay, I have a question. So there was a sequence... spoiler alert, you guys. DC, one of the ragtag crew members dies, like pretty much everybody. But it was him talking about his childhood, or like when he was younger, and that he had a Pokemon addiction, like a Pokemon card addiction.
I kind of like
that. No, but we were like teenagers when Pokemon was big, right?
No, it came out, I'd say...
How old were we when Pokemon came out?
Probably...
Preteen?
Really? It makes sense.
He looks like 10, at least 10 years older than we do. And had he had a Pokemon collection, that means he would have had to have been like 8 or 9. Did you guys really have Pokemon when you were like 12 or 13?
I didn't do Pokemon at all because Pokemon was for pussies.
That's what I'm saying. Or for babies.
Or for babies.
For stupid babies.
Let's see. When did Pokemon kind of get here to America?
But that part really bothered me. I was like, this is highly inaccurate.
It says 96, so...
96, we would have been...
14.
11 or... Oh, yeah, 14. I can't do math.
Sorry, totally believable. He did his research. Bam.
No, but would a 14-year-old dude have Pokemons?
If he's a total nerd, which is story's all about him being a nerd, then yeah, I totally buy that.
I guess.
Yeah, why not? That's not much of a stretch as everything else in this movie, but...
Wait, what about this line? They should call these MRHs meals ready to hurl. Really? Really, Joker?
That's the best you can do.
You should have thought that one through.
What's his
you...
last joke? What is he? What is it? Something? It was.
Yeah, because I wrote, "Oh, jokester, joking," or I wrote, "Oh, Joker, joking till the very end." I can't remember what his last joke was, but
no, it wasn't even a joke. It was like, "What did the one dude say to the other dude?" And he's like, "Hold my hand," and I was like, "That's really sad."
No, he said he had a punchline. I thought. No.
Yeah, the punchline was hold my hand, but I was like, I'm not getting it.
I don't get it, yeah. Is this supposed to be funny? I don't get it.
That's not his A material. He went out with a B joke.
There's this whole movie is just like nonsensical discussions wandering through the desert. People talking about backstories that don't matter about anything, you know. Like, it's... Because you don't care. It's just like, get to the zombies. Start shooting some
but
people.
I will say there's some. I'm a big fan of the way the blood splatters onto the camera. Mm-hmm. A lot of the shots.
But it was CGI blood, and then they just do a little bit of blood splatter on the camera.
I thought it was great. I like that.
I like that.
They only did it every once in a while. So it wasn't like every time they killed somebody. It was like, oh, let's get them tired. But
obviously a lot of the shooting blood like was CGI. Oh, they had some good practical effects, though.
Yeah, they did. And some close-ups.
I have a good line. You know what the hardest thing about rollerblading is? Telling your parents you're gay.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I heard that one when I was, like, 12 years old.
Oh, really?
The other one I have is, getting a little soft? That's not what your mom said. My mom's dead. Just kidding. She's in Toledo. I was like, what?
Yeah. That's not awful karma at all.
You know what really bothered me about this movie as well, amongst other things, is whenever Dusty or what's his name? No, Derek, the brother, would like pop up because you thought he was dead at some point, and then the sister would just run up to him and then do like a little bit of like a double slap. Like, you're so stupid. Like, really, that's the reaction you have to your brother being alive after you thought he was murdered?
Or your brother like going halfway around the world and try to
seeing
hunt
him for months,
Osama
like,
bin Laden?
Dead.
That's your reaction when you see
him. They could have just...
She was terrible.
They could have had him been... an ex-soldier who's been wronged or something or other.
But, I mean, he was, like, ex-firefighter. So he had, like...
He was an ex-firefighter?
Yeah, you didn't hear that part of the story? He was basically feeling guilty about being sick on 9/11 and his whole fire squad
being killed
in the two towers coming
down.
See,
why didn't they have a flashback of that rather than the flashback, which we didn't talk about?
They could afford to have a flashback of that.
What flashbacks did they have?
You mean like in the firehouse, like him with his bros? You're talking about like a 9/11 flashback?
Something to show us his past, that showing remorse for his character. All we see is that past that he has a nightmare.
Oh, with a kid.
Him and his sister as kids with a zombie come and attack them, which confused the shit out of me because I was like, was he a kid and they were attacked by zombies? But this is new. And it just was pointless.
Yeah. So. That whole flashback, I think, was supposed to be
a metaphor.
Yeah. Like, I gotta protect my sister. I gotta go after Osama. So basically, that's when Derek decides, I'm gonna just go finish this, and you know, I don't want my sister to be involved at all. I don't want her to get hurt.
I will give it to Derek, though. He picks up guns, and even the other soldiers are like, looking at him like, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing with all that shit? It's like, there's fucking zombies everywhere. Wouldn't you want all of the weapons you could possibly have and not have to reload in the middle of it? Yep, yeah. They're like, no, fuck it, I lost my rifle. It's like, okay, you're stupid.
Good thing I have this katana sword.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, so the katana sword chick is...
hot.
She is hot, and so her
with
lover...
perfect makeup in the middle of the desert.
Her lover, the Australian guy.
She has a compact.
I can't remember that guy's name, but the Australian gentleman dies.
Oh, yeah. What was his name?
I don't remember.
It doesn't matter. He can be identified
his
as the
Australian.
His name
was Golden Boy to go along with Tomboy.
Oh.
Is that what it was?
No.
Oh.
And,
I hope not.
And so then she proceeds to have this like dance fight. Or not dance fight, but like a...
She's fighting it out, shadowboxing, but with a katana sword.
Right. While the sun is setting in the background. It's so ridiculous.
That was a kind of a cool thing where she just kind of walks ahead. The other guys are having that conversation about intervention. I found it actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
Where they're just like shooting the shit and she's just like fucking killing the shit of these zombies.
What annoyed me about her katana sword was one, that she had a katana sword, and two...
But she was a girl.
No. That she kept doing the same move, which was the
choreography.
Spinning with the sword above her head. And I'm like, this is primal biting, zombie bite time. Yeah. Like, and you keep doing the same move. It's ridiculous.
It was so obvious that she took like a tactical fighting course, like in prepping for the movie. Like, you know, the producer's like, you need to learn how to wield this katana sword.
Yeah.
And so she like was so textbook. And doing that same move over and over again. It was
but I guess
ridiculous.
She is fighting zombies. And you know,
no, I would love to have a katana sword with zombies.
But you can just simply do a swipe.
But that's not cool looking.
Yeah.
But she didn't make it look cool looking either. She made it look stupid.
She made it look hot.
Stupid.
Did anyone else think that Chapo, the token Mexican dude, looked like fat Mark Ruffalo? I thought he does.
I think really that. I think Mark Ruffalo looks like fat.
Is fat Mark Ruffalo. Aww.
He's not aging well.
No, he looks all right in that.
He just needs to get skinny.
Now You See Me preview. He looks normal.
Yeah, I saw.
But you said you saw him on the Oscars and he looked super weird. Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he was doing something for a movie.
He's popping pills.
Cocaine.
He's got it. He's going the Matthew Perry way.
So the climax of Ozombie.
Orange and bloated.
The climax of Ozombie takes our what's left of our Marines to a cave where Osama is hiding with, or zombie Osama bin Laden is being protected by the other Al-Qaeda members, and because they're going to show the infidels that, you know, God
you
is...
You can't kill Osama!
I guess that you can't kill Osama, that God's on their side, and I don't know.
That's bullshit.
My aside from all the one-liners, my other biggest gripe with this was that the ending was so anticlimactic.
Yeah, they didn't even show Osama bin Laden getting killed by the giant whatever.
It's off-screen.
IED.
It's an off-screen death. That's not good.
No,
not at all.
And come on,
when you call your whole movie a zombie,
I'm all for, you know, if you have somewhat of an excuse for how someone survives a blast like that.
Yeah, there was no possible way.
Like. You know, there wasn't a deep freeze freezer he could have hit in, like Killer Clowns from Outer Space style, you know, and they hide in the ice cream truck.
He was 2 feet away from Osama bin Laden when he shot him with a RPG.
Yeah, there's no possible way. And that explosion was fucking humongous.
Yeah.
So
I should have had him die. Like, I don't understand, like, what's the benefit?
I think he would have been fine if it was
like, nobody's
going
to be like, oh, cool. Good for Dusty. It's like, no, Dusty's lover survived the other guy. Like, that's all she needs. Yeah. She doesn't need her brother. That guy could be sacrificed.
And I would say, you know, maybe if this was a real movie that wasn't, you know, a straight-to-DVD piece of crap.
It's a real movie. It's a film.
I'd say that they might have tested it and people didn't like that Derek died at the end, but we know that was not happening with Ozombie. No. So, I don't know. Any closing remarks on
don't waste your time, people.
Oh, I think it was fun. It was enjoyable.
No, it wasn't.
It was easy to get through. I'll say that.
Yeah. But I guess.
Honestly,
it was not my favorite. It was not my least favorite.
It wasn't my least favorite, but I think actually the actors were pretty decent. Like, I didn't feel like they were really bad.
It was mainly the script was awful.
Yeah.
The script was
awful. I think everyone did an all right job.
They did an
all
right job. Like, they seemed relatively legit.
I expected more Ozombie, Osamba. Osamba.
Osamba.
Is that a hybrid?
We wanted more Osama Bonanza.
Osamba. Oh my god, that needs to be a movie.
Osama Bonanza. Sequel.
Osama bin Laden taking Samba lessons.
So yeah, I think that basically concludes our review of Ozombie.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about it.
Yeah, I think that's so for on the next episode of the Bad Movie Night podcast, we are going to be talking with Mr. David M. Latt. From the production company The Asylum, who we're big fans of here, who've done such iconic films as Mega Shark vs. Giant Octopus, Mega Piranha, Transmorphers, and most recently the mockbuster Atlantic Rim, which will be coming out this summer. So stay tuned for that for the next episode, and we'll also be sitting down with the director of Atlantic Rim, Mr. Jared Cohn.
Cohn?
Question mark.
Who is the, as I said, the director of Atlantic Rim. So thanks again for listening, and until next time.
Say it.
Scooty booty?
Question mark.
Just what I need, right? Another vial.
Yeah, we'll shut both of them. Put pressure on it. Put your hand here. Stay with me, Joker. I mean it. I don't have anything.
So there's a murderer. He's sitting in an electric chair. He's about to be executed. Any last request? Ask the chaplain. Sure, says the murderer. Will you hold my hand?
That was the worst joke I've ever heard.
You're all bad.
I'm gonna miss you.
I'm gonna miss me too. Thank you, Call of Duty.